Audio Gravity, 2nd of September 2009. Good morning, hope you're doing well. It's actually lunchtime. It's coming up to 1 o'clock and time for another coffee. First thing today is something that just fell onto my radar out of nowhere, and it's nice because you don't have to go the full hog and write iPhone applications as such. These are native WebKit animations, and it's a jQuery plugin for mobile web development on the iPhone. It's jqtouch.com. What's really nice about it is it has a lot of the jQuery easiness about it. So you've got callback events. There's even things like swipe detection in there. So you've got this beautiful Ajax interface. You can do various prompts. You can call up other applications. And just go and check it out, because I can see lots of people now making very custom web versions of their software, instead of having to spend, you know, stupid amounts of money on having a version written on the iPhone, which might be out of date in, you know, a couple of months' time, because you realise more features need to be bolted into it. I actually had a look at getting a responder system built for the iPhone, and, you know, really looking at it, you're going to be spending £3,000 or £4,000 on getting something written, and it's just not going to do what you want it to do for very long, and then you have to spend more money on it. With this way, you can actually design it for the web. You could then get easy installations for people to put a little bookmark on your iPhone, open up the web application. Admittedly, it's not on the phone, you have to go onto the web, so you have to have data tariff, but it makes rapidly making an iPhone attractive interface to your media content a lot easier to do. And you can strip stuff out and put stuff in on the back end, and obviously people going to the website will see the changes. There's no downloading required or anything like that. Very cool. jqtouch.com. Next link today is over on timesoftware.free.fr, which is a French website. It's a time machine editor, so you can set a schedule for the update. So you can set, instead of it being this default 1 hour backup that you have on Time Machine, you can set it to be hourly or daily, weekly, monthly, at a certain time and on a certain day. And it can even back up when a certain disk is mounted. So if you, for instance, have a lot of offline content or offline storage, and then you only turn it on to grab files or movies or whatever, you can get it to alert you for that. Very nice, little simple plugin. I think it's free. And I think the new version, which got updated the other day, also supports Snow Leopard, which, by the way, I must mention, I've installed on my MacBook Pro first revision, and also the Mac Pro, which is the very first revision, 1.1, I think the new one is something like 4.1, fourth revision of it. But yeah, very, very cool Time Machine editor. Next link today is over on chrisjhill.co.uk. He's got a really nice jQuery tooltip, very reminiscent of the one on Coda. The only thing I would say about this tooltip, and I'm not sure if you can accelerate it a little bit more in the JavaScript, which you probably can, is it's a little bit slow to appear or to slide on. But I like what he's done with it. I like the fact that it sort of transparently fades in when you hover over something, and I'll definitely be using this somewhere. Next link today is over on tomtaylor.co.uk. Tom's got a project section and just an extensive amount of work that he's done. He's actually been the lead developer on the Doppler iPhone application, which I think has got a huge potential. For a first version, I think it was good to a proof of concept to get it out. And I can see where it's actually going to head towards, which is nice. He's also written a thing called Clark, which is a small OS X application for updating your Fire Eagle status quietly. It uses Skyhook's API to triangulate your position. Skyhook is something that I've been really interested about over the last week, because I keep seeing that name pop up in loads of little applications for tracking your Mac if it's stolen, things like that. And I'm going to be installing this on the... I'm not actually sure if I'm going to take my MacBook Pro or I'm just going to take my Acer. I'll probably take the Acer because it's just a lot lighter and it's a lot easier to cart about. But if you've got a Mac and you are constantly traveling about, maybe a little MacBook Pro or a MacBook, even 13-inch MacBook, having this little Fire Eagle updating thing is quite useful, especially if you have a lot of friends who are very web savvy and look for people in a local area and stuff. But that's tomtaylor.co.uk/projects. Very nice group of projects he's worked on. Next link is a Flickr page. I don't very often just mention a Flickr page. Flickr.com, photos, everything new is dangerous, which is the account. What I love about this is that the guy has took various different backgrounds, desktops, pictures, very simple pictures, and he just puts a very clear message into each one of them. The one that stuck out to me was, our stories need to increase the social fabric between people. Understanding the systems and drivers that come into play when people connect to each other and help them continue strengthening their relationships. Just really good, social, upbeat graphics and design. And you've definitely got to subscribe for me. I suggest that you go there and check him out. That's at flickr.com/photos/ everything new is dangerous. And finally, the last link today, you probably remember this if you've been a geek for a long time or you mess around with computer stuff. For the last, last decade or so, we've had this automation home control stuff called X10. And lots has changed since the X10 radio standard came about. And there's lots of new stuff that is happening, which involves the iPhone. And it's and again, this keeps on reiterating to me that the iPhone is slowly becoming the universal remote control to not only media online, what we listen to, the social grid, all that stuff. It's becoming a universal remote control. There's a company who's just closed a round of funding to around £45 million in Palo Alto, called iControl Networks, which is a bit of a scary name for a network company. iControl Networks sounds like Skynet. It's seeking to drag home automation into 2010. They've got all sorts of really, really cool stuff hanging off this. You'll be able to, you know, turn things on and off, do all the basic stuff, also heating remotely, heating, cooling, lighting, all of that sort of stuff, and control it all from your iPhone. What's nice about this and the fact that these things are starting to take on a life of their own in terms of, you know, you've now got this touchscreen device that's a phone as well. You know, imagine being able to turn your heating on for having a bath or a shower or whatever, you know, setting the lights on when you're away from home, where you've got video cameras that you can tune in on and all that sort of stuff. It feeds back into the grid, energy usage, when we're using it, when we're not using it. And eventually that data will be released. It will go open source. It'll be open API. So electric companies can start to tailor their services to your needs instead of just this one size fits all theory of electricity and water and gas. More tuned to us, you know, more efficient, more optimized. Will they lose out in the long term? I don't know. I think there's got to be radical thinking. We've had it too good for too long. But I love these remote control systems. Always have done, always will do. That's it for today. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Cheers. Bye.